Good morning, everybody. Who does the countdown?
Somebody.
Well, it's on the screen. welcome to our service. I'm at the Vines at Woodcroft this morning, to those of you who are present here this morning, and to those of you who are watching online, welcome to you as well. Chris and I had a really lovely experience last night. We were at the Adelaide Festival Theatre, watching the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra play the music of John Williams, the film composer who turned 90 on Tuesday and is still composing, still writing, and still has at least a couple of more films that in the future that he's going to be writing music for. I don't know how well I'm going to be by the time I get to 90, if I get there. I'm not sure whether I'll still be composing or not.
So, you know, so John Williams is still composing, but Beethoven is decomposing.
Oh. Ba-bum.
I won't say any more.
Yeah, please don't. But I was watching last night, watching the conductor. In fact, I spent more time watching the conductor than any of the other musicians. And the music was superb, but I thought, I liken the whole of the orchestra to a microcosm of the church and the conductor to the Holy Spirit. Because we have someone in the presence of the Spirit of God who is with us all the time, guiding us and leading us and prompting us and urging us. And we don't always notice that, although I think all the musicians notice the conductor all the time. But it's just a wonderful image, which I'd just invite you to hold on to and think about it across this week. There is a presence in our life that is with us all the time. I invite you to stand and join us as we sing.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let can say, I can see, it's what the Lord has done in me. He came to live a perfect life. He came to be living Word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. He came to live again in. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones His love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down. He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
For a moment. Lord God, we praise You and thank You for the freedom we have to meet in the way we do on Sundays. And Lord, in thinking about who we are, though we are weak, we are strong. And our Lord, though we are poor, we are rich. Though we are blind, we can see and have seen and will see. Thank You, Lord, for what You have done in our lives. Thank You that we can praise You together. Thank You that we can live life guided by You, blessed by You. Thank You for Your presence in our lives, Lord, in every way, every day, every moment. Thank You.
Jesus. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. My sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
What I'd like us to do now is pray for each other. I'm going to have some words up on the screen from Colossians chapter 1. And there's a beautiful prayer of Paul's. I don't know that that's the whole of the prayer, but that's okay. But Ken will change to the next in a minute. But it's a prayer asking God to give us complete knowledge of his will, give us spiritual wisdom, understanding, live lives that will honor and please God, lives producing every kind of good fruit, that we will grow as we learn to know God, that we'll be strengthened, that we will have endurance and patience. Who's patient? Sorry, I had my hand up. That we will be filled with joy, always thanking our Father and acknowledging that he has rescued us and put us into the kingdom of his Son, who's purchased our freedom and forgiven our sins. So if you're comfortable in joining me and saying together, I want to encourage us to speak it in a sense to one another so that we're actually praying for all of us. It includes you at home online as well. So let's pray together if you are able to. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, all the while You will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Amen. David.
I've got a few notices as I get myself organised. Who is able to burn a sausage pretty well?
Yep.
Good. Because Leon's looking for some volunteers for the barbecue. And one of the things that I'm sure I haven't actually spoken to him about, but you could even drop in and do a couple of hours stint. Doesn't need to be the whole day. I know he's there for quite a while, 6 hours normally. But he's actually looking for you to come along and drop in for a couple of hours, turn a few sausages, squirt a bit of sauce, put some onion on. Anyway, you can have a look in the grapevine for any more information. Also, next week I will be providing in the grapevine some timings for our Bible study starting in, what are we now, February, March? So that's next month. Time's ticking by, isn't it? When Lent starts. So Lent starts next month. Easter is coming, people. We are well and truly into 2022. All right, any other notices? Colleen, have I forgotten anything?
Yes, I have one.
You have one?
Just one quick one. Behind the scenes,
lovely people who sit at that thing at the back there called the TARDIS. For a number of weeks now, the sound wise guys, I don't mean that in a negative sense, have wrestled with our digital sound desk. It's got a touch screen on it, and that screen has been blank for how long, Grant? About 2 months. And Grant has been laboring away to try and fix it and figure out how to get it right, and he's done a lot of research. And I won't go into the whole detail, but I just want to affirm Grant and his persistence in that. He actually cracked it this week, and it is back working as it should. Thank you, Grant.
I'd like to take some credit, because I did suggest I'd bring my hammer in if it wasn't working. All right, we're going to do a quick thing here, Sam. So, you guys, this next 9 weeks, we're doing the availability series. We're in our second week of this, and we're talking about something we do on our knees. And what is that, Sam?
Praying.
And when we pray, you're missing out on some good stuff. What are we doing? Talking to God. I didn't even finish drawing that. You are sensational. Okay, so yes. It was. Okay, so we're praying. When we pray, we talk to God. Lovely. Okay, what sort of things do we talk to God about?
Jesus.
Well, yeah, we talk to God about Jesus. Flowing robe, yalala, little feet down the bottom. Okay, what other things do we... looks like a duck. What other things do we do? Do we talk about things that we're happy about? What other things? Well, talk about love, yes. What other things we do? We got some sad things. Who talks to God about things they're grumpy about? I think quite a few, yes. All right. So, these sort of things that happen. And I guess, what sorts of things do we pray about? Like, not just ourselves, but we pray for what? We pray for... people, yes. Good job. What about this? We pray for... what's that?
Healing.
Okay, I'm not sure how to draw that.
Peace in the world.
think that's a nice little people. We pray for the cats. We pray for dogs. We pray for healing. I'm not sure how we draw that. I just think we do sparkle. It'll just be sparkling new. Rain. We pray for rain, yes. This is the big channel. All right. Okay, so we'll move on from that. What about for ourselves? Sometimes we pray for things that we do wrong. What sort of mistakes do you pray for? Maybe you've said something naughty. Do you say things that are naughty, Sam?
Never,
said Dad. All right, sometimes we say some words that are not very kind or they're nasty. Or maybe we do some other things like what other mistakes do we make? Put your hands up if you break things. Oh, what about, okay, well, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who just breaks things. All right, so sometimes we break things. That's a terrible looking glass or a cup, but you get the idea. Break things, we break other people's hearts, maybe.
Think
bad things. Sometimes our brains, I haven't drawn a brain for a while, so sometimes we think some stinking thinking. Yes, some bad, nasty things. All right, that looks terrible. Okay, so when we pray, what happens? Sam, when we pray, what does God do when we pray? Let me give you a clue. What's that? That's an ear. You are sensational about this. So, yes, that's God's ear. And when we pray, God hears our prayers. And what does God do when we pray? So we have a question. And what does God do? What's that? For answer. And you know, one of the things we believe about prayer is when we pray to God, God says, I will forgive you and remove your sins like this whiteboard. Not totally gone, this is true. Sometimes there is a bit of a lingering of sin, this is true. Let me share a prayer, Mr. Smarty Pants. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when we come to pray to you, you do listen to us. And you forgive our prayers. Sometimes we might hang on to them a little bit. We ask that you may help us let them go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Sam. Good job. All right. Thank you, people.
The future theologian in our midst. We're going to sing a great old hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, as we bring our offerings this morning and acknowledge him before God.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Praise him, praise him, hallelujah.
God, we do indeed praise you and thank you that you are a God of grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have given to us in abundance. And most abundantly, you have given us your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you. And Lord, we bring our offerings to you this morning and acknowledge our offerings, those that Elaine is holding, those that have been given online. And pray, Lord, that you would help us to use them with wisdom and use them to glorify and honor your name. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't normally have a prelude to the scripture reading, but this morning we do. The scripture reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, and Chris is going to read that for us in a little while. But in chapter 3, the first part of chapter 3 of John's Gospel, is the occasion where Nicodemus came to Jesus and had a conversation with him. It says Nicodemus' story and his encounter with Jesus. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born. You must be born. You must be born again. There was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus was his name. He came to Jesus in the night, having heard about his fame. He said, I know you're a teacher from Almighty God. You've come, for no one can perform these signs unless God is with him. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born, you must be born, you must be born again. Jesus answered him that night, truly, truly, I say to you, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born anew. Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he is old? Cannot end his mother's womb twice, so I behold. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born. You must be born. You must be born again. Jesus answered him again, two ways you must be born, by water and the Spirit. The thought began to dawn, you cannot enter God's kingdom unless you are born again. Nicodemus, this truth applies to you and to all men. You must be born again. Sing along. You must be born again. You must be born. You must be born. You must be born again. One more time, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born. You must be born again.
morning's reading is from John chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the Holy Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Let's come together in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we have heard this morning how wonderful and gracious you are, how your Spirit is constantly with us, if only we would tune in. And Lord, you call us to pray for one another. And you care enough for us to hear. To hear and to act and to answer. Lord, thank you for this great place that you have enabled us to live. Thank you for the beauty of this country, the security and stability of its government, the security of its borders. Lord, we pray for places like Ukraine, Taiwan, even Afghanistan, Lord, where they do not know what is going to happen in the coming weeks. Lord, the fear that they must be feeling, we cannot even understand. We pray for these countries. We pray for the people within, that you may give them strength, that the church may be a beacon to those around. We pray for the leaderships who are discussing this back and forth, and especially for those making decisions. Lord, may your Spirit be heard, and may those who hear it have the courage to speak. Hold those situations in your hands, we pray. We pray the same for our own government as it faces decisions. Give them wisdom. Give them the big picture. Give them knowledge and courage. And Lord, give them rest, that they may not be worn down and worn out. Lord, we pray for this church, for all churches in these difficult times where we are trying to worship and we sometimes feel like we're doing it with one hand behind our back. Lord, we understand you receive our worship in whatever form it comes. Paul worshipped with chains in the cells, and you threw open those doors. Help us to grab hold of the worship and the fellowship of this place and use it to bolster your strength and your wisdom and the answer to prayer. Lord, we pray for one another. We know there are people who are unwell. Bring wellness to them. Give wisdom to those who tend them, who examine them, who make decisions, who interpret the symptoms. Give compassion to those who look after them. For those living in fear, Lord, bring them peace. For those living with uncertainty, bring them peace also and a deep understanding that you are in the midst with them. for those who are grieving, Lord, we ask that you just wrap your arms around them. Help those around them to understand how long and dark grief can be. But Lord, eventually lift them above the darkness, that they may continue to live in the beauty of this world and in your love and grace. Lord, and we pray for ourselves. You have made each one of us with unique gifts and unique personality traits. We don't always live up to our potential, and we often let you down, but Lord, you love us. Help us to be better. You love us just as we are, but Lord, help us to be more like Jesus, that your glory may be seen in this world and this place, your kingdom may be stretched, may become more clear to those around. Bring hope to this world, we pray. Bring your love and grace through us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today again. In our time of prayer and our time of reflection, we ask that your Spirit would continue to shape us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes I think my ears really are growing. It seems to be harder and harder to put this thing on every time. Hey, look, today, as I've already told you, this is our second week in our availability series. It's a 9-week series based on the book from Robert Wicks. It's been a very interesting book. I've enjoyed reading it and trying to unpack it. Today's theme is failure and forgiveness. And like all things, I guess we know what that's about, don't we? What I like about the Bible, and I often remind people, is it's a really honest book. I mean, it's recorded 3,000 years worth of people's mistakes and successes, you know, failures, life lessons, if you like. If we want to try and think about what is the things we learn about life, probably the only thing it doesn't really talk about is computers, although I'm sure there's a reference somewhere in there about scripture and, you know, get behind me, Satan. Maybe that's what refers to computers about. I don't know. But modern life also is full of many examples. In recent weeks, I've used some sporting examples, haven't I? From the Australian Open, Barty and Rafa Nadal and Djokovic and a whole pile of people. Medvedev, who talked about the little boy inside me having stopped believing. Modern history is also full of many examples of life lessons or things we learn from life, potentially mistakes and failures. Slide next we have here is Winston Churchill. I'll give you a couple of quotes. Now, Winston Churchill is well known for his contribution to World War II and the tenacity and resilience and stubbornness of the people on that little island, UK. And so he has been renowned for that. He had some great quotes like, success consists of going from failure to failure with enthusiasm. When was the last time you went from failure to failure with enthusiasm? Not many of us do. The second one he had was, if you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stop. And another one that I've got that I didn't include there was, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it's the courage to continue that counts. But what's interesting about Winston Churchill, I'm not sure if you know, but on the next slide, Winston Churchill was responsible for the planning of Gallipoli and that whole conflict on the Turkish peninsula. Put your hand up if you thought that was a raging success. Yeah, it was a fail, an abysmal failure. And what's interesting is that Churchill actually had a key role to play in that. Setting it up, the planning, and I guess other people may have just resigned after that abysmal effort. But Winston Churchill hung around, not only for World War I, but into World War II. And in World War II, he still didn't get his act together entirely. He bungled the defence of Norway. He thought the invasion of Italy was easy, or would be easy, and he underestimated the Japanese military. But one of the things that Winston Churchill did was he learned from his mistakes. Set against his failures is a far longer and more important list of successes. And he learned from these as well. So in many ways, Churchill is an example of someone who's just been like the British bulldog, you know. Squat and ugly, but determined. Sorry, Winston. You know what I mean. That sense of tenacity, determination, never to give in. We'll fight them on the beaches. You know what I mean. The next slide picks up, I guess for us, a contemporary way in which we try and connect him with this. Many of us try to deny and avoid failure at all costs, in an effort to be perfect, maybe. We stumble, fall, and are forced to see a natural fact of life. We have needs. We get tired. We lose fervor. We fail too. Interesting quote, isn't it? And I think one of the things, if we're going to be talking about prayer requires honesty. It's no good coming to God and talking about how wonderful we are when in actual fact there's all this series of things that are going wrong for us that we're just la 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 trying to avoid or deny. Many of us try to deny and avoid failure at all costs in an effort to be perfect. We stumble, fall, and are forced to see a natural fact of life. We have needs. We get tired. We lose fervor. We fail too. And, this quote really is not meant to rub your nose in anything, but actually set us free. Because when we can actually acknowledge that all of us make mistakes, we all fail, then we don't have to have some pretense that somehow we need to be better than the next person next to us, or somehow the person next to us is better than us, because in the end, we're on the same field. We all have shame and regrets. We all make mistakes. But as Christians, and why I value what we do on a Sunday morning, is there's not many organizations or people who actually spend the time having their rethinking set for the week. You're going to spend 1 hour here today, and online, inviting people to speak into your life through songs, words, scripture, the Holy Spirit to speak into your life to maybe change your life up this week. Many people are just happy to go into the same rut every week, every year, every decade. They never have anyone speaking into their life, which is what we're doing today. When I prepare this stuff, it speaks into my life because I, like you, have to make this apply and connect. The next slide we have is a nice one which picks up a sound theology of hope. Also has shown itself to be an important element in handling daily stress and personal failures. So as Christians, we have a theology. And theology is God talk. So simply, when we talk about God, when you talk about God, you're doing theology. It sounds very impressive, doesn't it? You're a theologian and you don't even know it. Isn't that impressive? You're not looking very impressed. You should be. Come on, people. When you talk about God, you are talking theology. You're talking about God. What is theology of hope? When we talk about hope, I guess, you know, often we find our circumstances to be this. But what hope does is lift our eyes up to look forward, to see something different that is possible. That's what hope is about. So when we have God words about hope in the future, that changes how we see our now and our future, doesn't it? And it's an important element in handling stress and personal failures. And this is really, this scripture, we talk about this all the time, John 3:16. But if you're looking at a platform of why we get our confidence or where we get it from, this comes to the fore again. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only son. Not even his own son got in the way of this love. So great was the love for you. That everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through him. So, God's choice of us, God's love of us, is the foundational platform from which our hope emerges. That is from which we launch in the midst of our failures and mistakes. That is the truth that, again, if it's a tattoo truth, if you're going to get yourself a tattoo, please get something that affirms that God never lets go of you. It's a permanent reminder that in the midst of your doubts and tears, that is a truth that does not get washed away. It is a truth. It is a foundation. It does not change. And so for me, these foundations are really important. Now, I'm not sure about your area, but in my area, there's lots of houses getting bulldozed, dug up, and instead of one, you get two, maybe three. But it's interesting, when they're knocking houses down, you get this big machine that just sort of goes, there goes the wall and the roof. But to get the foundations up, they got to dig down, they got to dig up, they got to cut through it, they got to concrete, reinforced steel. Just is such a pain. Takes such an effort. And what we want to remind ourselves is, when we have a good, strong foundation, and what your foundation is really defines how you face the future, how you face your mistakes, your failures, what sort of hope you have. Because when we have a foundation that is based in that truth of God's love of us, then that's something we never question. But together with God, we work through our stuff. Together with Jesus, the two of us face stuff together rather than us being alone by ourselves. That for me is one of those key things. And we talk about beliefs, but really it's the application that becomes the tricky part. And so this is where it comes to the rub. So we talk about mistakes and failures. We talk about God's love. We talk about forgiveness. And it's the application. Forgiveness is the application of our beliefs. Failure and forgiveness. The next slide I have picked out for you is a good definition of how the British people have had been on a big journey with these two individuals. This is Camilla on the left, if you somehow missed and haven't been a part of the planet for the last whatever years.
And so Princess Diana on the right hand side.
At a wedding, she discovers there's a third party to their relationship with Charles, and there she is, Camilla. The next slide, there's lots of sensational gossip that have been around for decades. Diana, Charles, and Camilla, the untold story of a love triangle that changed the future of the monarchy. So it was. I haven't got time to unpack this, all right? You know all about this. The reason I chose the monarchy is because the Queen, next slide, has just celebrated 70 years on the throne. And by the throne, you know the throne I mean. Ruling as a monarch for 70 years has been the longest reigning monarch. And what piqued my curiosity about this whole issue of mistakes, failures, and forgiveness are these following words that I'll quote from her. "When in the fullness of time," she said last week, "my son Charles becomes king, I know you'll give him and his wife Camilla the same support that you've given me. And it is my most sincere wish that when the time comes, Camilla will be known as Queen Consort, as she continues her own royal, loyal service." I really like this quote for a couple of reasons. The obvious one is, when in the fullness of time my son Charles becomes king. And I can imagine Charles thinking, how much longer do I have to wait? How long is the fullness of time supposed to be? You know, is she waiting for a letter from the Queen? What is Mum doing? 96 years of age, she's still chuffing along wonderfully well. And, you know. But the second thing that really struck me was 70 years as a monarch, and what she was really wanting to do was to get the people of the world to embrace Camilla as the queen, you know, king, queen. So that is a major shift, isn't it? Massive shift. If you go back into the 90s when Princess Di died in that accident, you know, just the animosity. So there's been a big shift. You know, dare I say it, maybe forgiveness has happened for people to actually even connect in with Camilla. And that's a very practical way. Having a sense of perspective regarding failure and forgiveness might well be the most critical aspect to learn as a royal. The royal family has a big picture, don't they? They don't see in 10 years, they see in centuries. And she's setting the next century up. Having a sense of perspective regarding failure and forgiveness might be the most critical aspect to learn as Christians. One of the things we may have to learn the most is what do we do when we fail and how that forgiveness connects with that. Now, look, no doubt you've got some really interesting stories to tell. And if we had time, I'd hand the mic around. You'd share some of those stories about how you've wrestled with this and how you've got to this point, and that's why you're here. Nicodemus was a beautiful song, thanks, and a well accompanied. Just a wonderful way of getting into this reading. Nicodemus also failed. I mean, he came along and sneaked in with Jesus to catch up because he knew he was God or from God, but he just couldn't believe. I don't know. I'm not sure really what he was wanting. He was just wanting some other sign. And Jesus said, truly, no one can come to the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And that dynamic of Nicodemus saying, what, going back into your mother's womb? How does that work? It's just incongruous. But he totally missed the point. And we don't see Nicodemus in John until right at the end when Jesus has been crucified and died. And then Nicodemus goes along to retrieve Jesus' body with Simon. And in brackets, John writes, who was a secret follower of Jesus. So these two guys obviously continued to be believers despite the fact that they risked their death. And so somehow, I guess, Nicodemus dealt with his failure. You know, people like Judas, he didn't deal with his failure at all. Took his own life. Someone like Peter, who failed, accepted forgiveness and kept going. So, for me, I guess there is this intimate connection between our mistakes and failures and forgiveness. Now, what you do with that really has a big difference about. A bit like Sam's comment about, you know, when God forgives us, for some of us, we keep those mistakes there. So they're still visual, but not maybe as strong. So part of the challenge is just to let it go and be forgiven. And today's really not meant to make you feel bad or sad or mad, but I'm really trying to invite you to discover this crucial element we have. There's a poem I'm going to finish with. And it's an interesting poem because at first read you think, it's actually in the grapevine as well. At first read you think failure somehow, it talks about our failure and despair and that sort of stuff. But when you read it carefully, it's a bit ironic because it emphasizes the negative. So it sort of picks out how we feel, but it does so to emphasize the opposite. So I hope it comes across well. It is a given you have failed. It goes without saying, you were hurt, and so you hurt some others. Of course, you alone could not have saved someone or something. You did not. The midnight court of the sleepless mind has reached its verdict. Life sentence. Life will be long and hard, but also mysterious in how you are condemned to live by beauty all the same. Through the bars of your cell, you must watch. The moon grows full and generous. A tune made for others will arrive as if for you. The world can't keep its treasures from you, no matter how little you deserve. You have it all. Moon, sun, sleep, waking, water, air. A bird dancing away out of sight, leaving the print of its flight, and a filament of song for you. Beautiful words. And when we add God's love and forgiveness into that mix, the lingering essence remains. I'm going to invite you to pause for a moment. What is one thing you're taking away from today? Songs, prayers, or the words you've heard? I'll give you a time as you focus. Holy Spirit, come, move through our lives, fill us, renew us, make us whole in Jesus' name. Amen.
We stand and sing together the great Jeff Bullock song, I Am Carried.
I am carried.
So go in peace, having these words and songs and tunes and melodies resounding in your brain, and may they continue to set you up for hope this week, in Jesus' name. And a reminder, we've got morning tea this morning. So again, we have to keep our COVID restrictions in place. So, you know, if you're going to drink tea inside, please sit down. You can go outside and have your cuppa. But again, a cup of tea, you're welcome to join us today and enjoy. God's peace. Amen.
I am carried in the arms of grace and love divine.